good. So, Philippians chapter 1 is our text. Committed to exalting Christ boldly. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Sufficient courage. How do we get it? Courage adequate for the challenges we face. What instills courage within our being? Is it simply an intellectual exercise of placing the right information in our brain? Or is it a spiritual infusion that happens in the context of relationship with a variety of sources of courage? Philippians chapter 1 gives us an introduction into the development of courage within the follower of Jesus Christ. Paul is our example, and from this first chapter we see several clues to how Paul became a man of courage and how we too can become men and women of courage, particularly in our commitment to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ in our bodies. An artist conceives of a painting and gives himself tenaciously to the work of creating a piece of art that brings honor to his master. A musician persistently practices a score of music so that her performance will inspire her listeners to think good thoughts about her creator. A scholar studies thoroughly all the available resources so that his presentation will reflect the depth of understanding and the complexity of the one who birthed the concept in the first place. The wife makes huge sacrifices for her husband in the desire that her love would be a testimony to the unconditional love of Christ. See, being committed to having our bodies bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ is not limited to the designated holy man or the handful of saints. All of us who have been called to follow Jesus Christ are challenged to give our best in the face of opposition in order that our Savior is honored. And for that, we all need sufficient courage. What is courage? Courage, by definition of several who have thought about that subject, a quality of spirit that enables you to face danger of pain without showing fear. Another, to be courageous, it has been said, is doing the right thing regardless of cost. It is a condition of a strong soul rather than a strong body. Another, a person's ability to overcome fear. Since fear can be caused by internal and external sources, courage cannot be measured by an external situation alone. A person's apparent courage may vary greatly from situation to situation. Margaret Chase Smith said this, "Moral cowardice that keeps us from speaking our minds is as dangerous to this country as irresponsible talk. The right way is not always the popular and easy way. Standing for right when it is unpopular is a true test of moral character." In speaking of the Holocaust, one writer stated, "There is perhaps more of a lesson in the story of the rescuers, the heroes, more than even the atrocities." Most of the victims, unfortunately, had no control, no choice in their destiny. The rescuers, on the other hand, had choices. They could have chosen to have looked the other way, as many around the world did, but not for the heroes. The heroes made a decision. They chose to risk their own lives, their families, and they often risked their homes and their own comfort to help save thousands of Jews. Courage. How is courage instilled? Let's take just one example. The story of Masada dates to 73 AD, during the last revolt of the Jews against the Romans. It was recorded by Josephus in his memoirs, The Jewish Wars. After almost a century of rebellion, the Jewish resistance had been defeated severely. The remaining fighters, as well as men and women and children who had survived the fall of Jerusalem, retreated to the desert mountain of Masada, overlooking the Dead Sea, and were then surrounded. They held out against the Romans for 3 years with little access to food or water. When they realized that the Romans were on the verge of breaking through their defenses, they chose to die by their own hands as a free people rather than be enslaved. Masada has therefore become a symbol of the determination of the Jewish people to be free in its own land. You see, courage is instilled through the stories of heroism. Courage is born out of hope that perseverance will pay off. Courage is found when God gives meaning to our lives. Now, it's rather paradoxical that our culture so admires heroes, but places upon us so much pressure to conform. Do you see the inconsistency? Rarely will you find a hero in the company of conformists. You will never hear a courageous man or woman say, "Well, everybody's doing it, so I guess I'll just go along." Our culture tries to make us think we are heroes, that we are a free spirit, by conforming to their standard, when in reality, we are just going with the flow. That's precisely why Paul urged us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, he says, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The good news is that you don't have to look like a dork or act like one to be a courageous follower of Christ. But, nonetheless, you will possibly, maybe even likely, be ridiculed as one. You see, when you identify yourself with Christ, that's what's going to get the ridicule, not whether you're a dork or not. Okay? Most importantly, we need to know who it is we're trying to please. And Paul urges us to seek to please our Lord, first and always. In our text this morning, I would like us to work backwards, if you would. What I mean by that is, Paul makes a powerful statement at the end of our text, verse 20, for his need for courage. Notice verse 20. "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." So I want to know if in the previous verses we get some clues to what made Paul a courageous man, because I believe he was a courageous man. And are there clues leading up to verse 20 that indicate that he was courageous? And if we find those, then we can also discover how we can be courageous men and women of faith. See, Paul understood that life is filled with challenges. He also knew that death is our ultimate enemy. In the face of those obstacles, those opponents, the question is, what will give us the courage to prevail? And I believe Paul, in this first chapter of Philippians, gives us some answers. Verse 1, Philippians 1. The letter comes from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. It was written to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So to the question, what gives us courage? First, the reality that God has begun a work and will complete a good work in us. That instills within us hope and courage. What a gift that we have been given from God. That He has begun a work in us and promises to bring it to completion. Now, there may be many times when you want to throw in the towel and give up. But when you review what God has done and where He is taking us, we are then fortified to pick up our step, and even if it's just an inch, to inch forward rather than to retreat in face of the challenges that we face. The gift from God that says, I started a work in you and I'm going to carry it to completion. There's a second inspiration of courage in these verses. It's at the end of verse 4, in the beginning of verse 5, when Paul says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. So partnership with a person of courage inspires within us hope and courage. Friends, we all need a Paul. I need a Paul. You need a Paul. Someone who is courageous needs to be my friend. Our friendships and relationships have much to do with whether or not we will be courageous. Paul goes on, verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Do you see the kind of relationship that Paul had with these believers in Philippi? Notice how Paul speaks of the involvement of his audience in his imprisonment and defense of the gospel. He views them as being fellow partakers of grace as he has gone through his difficult times. You see, these friends did not abandon Paul as he fought on their behalf. They had a partnership that was tested by fire. Now the word where it says share in God's grace, the word share is very similar to the word fellowship that you read just a couple verses earlier where it says, verse 5, the word partnership. The word partnership is the word koinonia. The word share in verse 7 is soon koinonia. It's added a preposition in front of the word koinonia with fellowship, with communion, with community. with partnership. So it's like it's doubly so. We have someone who is sharing with Christ over here, another one sharing with Christ, and now they're coming together to bring both of their sharings together. And he's saying, we have been sharing together in a partnership, even through suffering. These friends did not abandon Paul, and they were also receiving great benefit in that relationship with him. And folks, we need to do that today. We need to be that kind of friend to other believers. We need to partner with men and women who are standing for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like we need a Paul, Paul needs us. We must not abandon those Christian leaders who serve as our point men in the defense of the gospel in the battle for our culture. How easy it would be for us to leave our Christian leaders out on the limb. Leave them to take the heat for us. To be the lone target and somehow thinking that we're not going to get hit. But we must not do that. We must partner with them as fellow men and women of courage in order that our own courage would be strong. I think locally of a pastor who has stepped out on the limb on behalf of the Christian community. And I would encourage you to uphold Pastor Ken Hutcherson in prayer, that he would be able to still be strong in the midst of all the pressure and flack that he gets. Because he's willing to take a stand. Standing on our behalf. Standing for the gospel's behalf. You may not like all the things that he does. You may be a little nervous when he says some of the things he says. Say, oh, that's just Ken. But it's important that we be praying for him. I think of leaders of Christian organizations who are taking a stand. It's not popular, folks. It's not popular to take a stand for Christ. Think of the heat that Dr. James Dobson's getting. We can just leave him out there to dangle all by himself. Or we can pray for him. I have the privilege of being a shirt-tail friend of Senator John Thune from South Dakota. His sister was Joyce's roommate at Biola, and he also was a Biola grad. And so when he was in town a month ago, I brought a picture of his sister's family and our family together and handed it to him. And immediately, he was my friend. And we had fun talking. But what he said to me, he was so thankful for the prayers on his behalf that helped get him elected. But he said, I need prayer more now. And I was just trying to think about what would it be like. Let's say that your pastor suddenly was in a political office, similar to Steve Hammond from Enumclaw, pastor of a church there, suddenly placed in leadership capacity with our King County. You think that it's easy to be a Christian today in political office? To stand for righteousness and truth? I think I would be thinking twice about running for office. Though I'm sure I'd have 100 votes. Maybe not. No, I'm not making any declaration. However, whatever your political party is, there are caucuses this Tuesday. So Christians should be involved. See, courage is instilled by God's partnership with us and grows by our partnership with fellow followers of Jesus Christ. Relationships. Get someone who is courageous to be your friend. Now, that might mean you have to go to the jail. I mean, think about Paul. If someone wanted to be a friend with Paul, they had to spend a bit of time going to visit him in jail. If that's what it takes to have a friendship with someone who is courageous for Christ, go. So do I. Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Number 3, always keeping the goal before us inspires within us hope and courage. Paul prays that we will have the discernment to see the best and pursue it. He desires that our love abound and bear the fruit of righteousness, all that God would be praised. Okay? Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged. See, there's the word courage coming again. Been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. You see, the testimony of someone courageous inspires courage. The action item here is surround yourself with courageous people. Hang out with them. Read stories of courage. You see, courage has a domino effect. The stories help us to not feel so sorry for ourselves and to keep our troubles in proper perspective. And we see that Paul has that perspective. If anyone has a right to feel sorry for himself, it was Paul. I mean, if you've read the section that speaks about the litany of all the things that he's suffered and taken on himself, well, he could feel sorry for himself. Verse 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, we could say something about how prayer inspires courage. That would be appropriate. What I've identified here is joyful hope inspires courage. See, joyful hope combines the future with the present. It brings the future into the present. This is the role of the coach. This is the role of the cheerleader. See, things may look discouraging now, but when hope is revived, courage and joy are right there to pull us and sometimes push us along. Joyful hope brings the vision of the future into the present, and we can get a handle on it and say, yes, giving us the courage to pursue. Now, from where did Paul get his courage? From where did Paul's courage come? I believe it's a byproduct of his relationships. His relationship with Jesus Christ and his relationship with fellow followers of Jesus Christ. I believe courage is also a companion of God's promises. Promises that allow him to see the future becoming a reality in the present. And so he would say as he closes this part of our text, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Keep your hope fixed on Jesus Christ, and you will have sufficient courage to face the challenges that come your way. So whether in life or in death, Christ will be honored in your body. Amen.
Please stand up as we sing the closing song.
Benediction, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.